And it's time for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. I think that's just kind of a brilliant name because I came up with it. So, Bob King joining us, Astro Bob himself, live and in color in the studio. So we've got nasty cold temperatures moving back into the Northland. But, of course, that frequently means beautifully clear skies.
Yes, just in time.
Okay. So what are we going to see?
We are going to see probably one of the most enjoyable events of the year for people who don't have telescopes, and that would be the total eclipse of the moon,
ooh,
which is happening Sunday evening, January the 20th.
January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the partial phase, and anybody can see, you just go out and look up. Total eclipses always happen when the moon is full, because at that time it lines up behind the Earth and moves into Earth's shadow. And the shadow has two parts. It has the outer part, it's called the penumbra, and that's filtered sunlight and shadow. And then the inner part, which is directly behind the Earth, that's called the umbra. That's the dark part, the heart of the shadow. The moon first moves into the penumbra, and you might notice a little bit of shading Sunday evening, right around 9:15 or so. Around 9:30, or a little after, the moon treads into the umbra, and you'll see that first little nibble along the left lower edge of the moon. That's the Earth's shadow. You'll see that it's curved, proving again that our planet is a sphere, and then the moon gradually moves deeper into the umbra until it is fully within, and then it's in total eclipse.
So if people don't have to go to work because they have the holiday off the next day, they could stay up late.
Yes.
Of course, for most people, 9:30 is not staying up late. Never mind.
Well, 9:30 is just really kind of the beginning
of the
show.
That's the beginning. Okay.
How long
will the whole event take?
Oh, gosh, it goes well into the morning. But as far as the total part, it's total starting at about 10:41, to be exact. So that's when the moon's fully within the Earth's shadow. And totality lasts about an hour. So from 10:30, we'll say, to about 11:30, 11:45, that's when the moon will be totally eclipsed. So it's getting late now, but the moon will be really high up in the sky. It should have a beautiful orange, reddish-orange color, because even though it goes into the Earth's shadow, sunlight is streaming from around the circumference of the Earth. It's bent by the atmosphere of the Earth, like a prism or a lens. And that sunlight, the red part of sunlight, like you'd see at a sunset or sunrise, is filtering into the Earth's shadow. It's refracted, we say, into the shadow. So instead of the shadow being black, when the moon gets in it, it reflects the light of sunrises and sunsets all around the 360-degree circumference of the Earth. That's why it's orange and red-colored.
That's poetry.
It's a beautiful thing.
And that is poetry. So it's red because it's reflecting all of the sunrises and all of the sunsets.
360 degrees from around the circumference.
Wow.
Isn't that fantastic?
That
and you look
fantastic.
Up and you see this globe, this orange-red globe hanging in the sky. Its light is greatly diminished, of course, because it's in the shadow. and if you happen to be, I always like to try to do this, but if you happen to be in a dark place where there's no light pollution, you'll notice the sky gradually getting darker and darker. And there, during totality, it will be just like a perfectly dark night. The Milky Way will come out. The stars will be brighter. It's a great feeling. It's a kind of a quietude that you feel where you're at. And then it does it in reverse. It passes through the center of the shadow, and then it moves off to the other side. And then around 11:45 or so, the moon begins to emerge from the shadow. So it goes back to partial eclipse. And then the partial phases are over just before 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Okay, I don't want to get sidetracked and get too detailed about this. But if a person wanted to take a photo with their smartphone, is there a way that you could get a good photo of that? Or is a smartphone just kind of not really capable of managing that kind of thing?
You can do it. It's just that the image of the moon in a smartphone is really tiny.
It's itty-bitty.
It's just itty-bitty. But yeah, you could compose a scene with the moon. Be aware, though, that when the moon is in partial phase, especially when it's half or more,
right,
that the exposure for the moon is going to be very short compared to what your nighttime landscape is going to be. So you might just see a big black sky with a white half moon in there.
Right.
Once the moon is a thin, thin crescent, and when it goes into totality, then it gets kind of dim. And if there's a way for you to hold that smartphone long enough and steady enough, you could actually get the orange moon in the sky with a scene around it. Maybe, you know, a lit scene on the ground, like a street scene or a church or something like that. So it is possible. But it's best, the best way to take pictures of the moon is if you have a telescope and a smartphone and you need any telescope, you just hold the phone over the eyepiece of the telescope. And when you get it in the right spot, just press that button.
Right.
Click,
there you go.
Click, click.
Laura Erickson had made this fabulous adapter for her spotting scope. And I think it was the cap, the plastic medicine cap off something. And she made a little adapter for either for her camera or her smartphone or something. But we've got a few days to kind of figure out the best way to do that, if that's, you know, going to be your thing. But you can take the picture and you can caption it with all this information from the show, and people will think it's a better photograph than it really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's ways to do it. Another thing I would suggest, if you're not doing photography, I mean, if you just have a smartphone, you can just give it a shot. That's the thing. You can just waste photos and see what works for you.
Exactly.
What I'd also recommend for listeners is if they have a pair of binoculars. And a lot of us who live here have a pair of binoculars. So we're always looking at birds or boats. Bring those binoculars
out. Or birds on boats.
When the moon is in total eclipse, it's very striking through binoculars. It looks more three-dimensional. The colors are more enhanced through binoculars. You'll see faint stars around the moon in binoculars. And if you're savvy, if you want to take a little adventure, to the left of the moon during total eclipse, there's going to be a star cluster visible called the Beehive. And it looks like a fuzzy spot with your eye, but through binoculars, it shows a whole bunch of pretty little stars clustered together like a swarm of bees. And that'll be to the left of the moon, about one binocular field, left and lower. Check
fantastic.
That out. Yeah, it just happens to be near this star cluster during totality. It's in the constellation of Cancer.
So this is exciting. So everybody's inviting themselves over to your house. You have a telescope, so everybody's coming over to, everybody's going to Bob's on Sunday night late, because your family just digs that, I'm sure.
Right.
But no, what a wonderful opportunity. We should actually check with the planetarium here. I have not checked with the planetarium. Are they having a viewing party?
Go to the planetarium site, the Marshall Elworth Planetarium site, UMD Planetarium. On campus. I know I can't recall the website address offhand.
We'll get a link.
Easy enough to find.
Yep, we'll get a link up.
They are planning a viewing session outside the planetarium in the parking lot area on Sunday night. I just don't know exactly what time they're going to start, perhaps around 9 o'clock.
All right, well, we'll get that information. We'll get a link set up so it'll be easy to find. We'll have a link, of course, set up to the AstroBob blog so folks can read more about the moon. And thank you for the gorgeous photograph of the moon that we will use to illustrate this.
Speaking of the blog, I'll have a complete blog on this tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, fabulous.
For people to check. There'll be all the times in there, so you know, people know just what time to go out. But that'll be tomorrow sometime in the afternoon that'll be ready. One other thing that's happening that's nice, if you're absolutely crazy Sunday night and want to stay up the whole night, is we have, or anytime Sunday night through the next week. We have a beautiful conjunction of Jupiter and Venus in the morning sky in twilight. And since the sun rises so late, it rises so late, if you're out at 6 o'clock, 6:30, quarter to 7, even 7 o'clock, look to the southeast, and you'll see two bright stars. I'm putting little air quotes around
stars, yep.
And the brighter one is Venus, and the still bright but fainter one is Jupiter. And they're going to be at their closest together starting Sunday night into the next week.
Well, you'll be up just being excited about all the wonderful things that you won't be able to sleep anyway. So you may as well, you know, you go inside, you get a little hot coffee, you put on warmer gloves, and you go back outside. It'll be fabulous.
I definitely would dress for this eclipse, though. It's not supposed to be super duper cold, but I hear the low Sunday night is predicted to be about -4.
And we've got, I don't know, of course, overnights gets to be a little bit tricky. Sunday night, a slight chance of snow showers. Yeah, we're looking at about 6 degrees below zero air temperature. And I don't know whether there's any going to be any breeze or any wind included in that. But
that's a lot colder on the moon.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. 250 below.
So there's somebody on the moon watching us through binoculars going, oh, look at there. So it's so tropical and beautiful there. So
actually, the temperature does drop significantly. When the moon is in sunlight, when you see a full moon, the temperature on the surface is around 250 degrees. So it's hot, right? Hotter than boiling water.
Right.
During totality, the temperature drops in that hour. It drops quickly because there's no atmosphere. It goes down to it drops 250 degrees during that time. And we have actually done measurements with spacecraft to find that out.
Wow.
And then it shoots right back up when the moon pops back into sunlight.
So if you've been frustrated this week, I don't know how to dress. If you were on the moon, oh, man, would you be in trouble.
That's why you wear those nice spacesuits with climate control.
Oh, I was thinking layers, but okay. Oh, yeah, you could be right.
That's the same deal.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Bob, thanks so much for
joining us.
And we'll make sure that we get the link, of course, to the blog post and some of this other information. We'll update it with your new blog post information tomorrow as soon as that comes out. Thanks a gazillion for joining us, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Bob King, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy here on 103.3 KUMD.